our listeners. And the 12th man, who is awesome, on X, he says, DOC, love your show on 106.7 The Fan, but not sure Rooster deserves credit for this. And it's Boots on the Ground, Wikipedia. And Boots on the Ground, a month with the 82nd Airborne in the Battle of Iraq. And talking about the story, 82nd Airborne Division during the early days of Operation Iraq Freedom. So, man, you know what I love about our fan base? You can trust them. And so I stand to be corrected. And I'll make sure that on Tuesday, when I'm honored to join the Rooster, that he did a nail. And so we'll make sure that, look, I may be hard-headed, but I'm not completely insane. And the canine community, this is what we do. We help each other. We work together. And that is awesome. Speaking of the canine community, Toothpick, we started off right now. How do we fix this defense, Pick, in the First String Podcast?
First off, let me say this. That guest you just had, Donna Hopkins, great professional. She knocks out questions before you can ask them. She's amazing. As a reporter, she's a straight professional. She does her job, just like you pointed out with Terry McLaurin. The question that you ask is, how do we fix this defense, Doc? They have to play together. I'm just going to leave it at that. They just have to continue to play together, trust each other, and trust in their coaching, because we know coaching matters, right? Just continue to play with each other and prove to each other that you're there for them. Sometimes it may mean sacrificing instead of, you know, making a tackle. It may mean taking on a double team so that your linebackers can make the tackle. It may mean when you have that one-on-one, it's your time to shine, right? But you have to trust each other. And that's how that defense begins to get better, Doc. I have a question for you, Doc. Mm-hmm. Every week you have a possibility of winning, losing, or tying. What would going 3-1 mean to this team and this community?
Well, it just means we're getting closer to how damaged our product was and how much we got to do to fix it. Mm-hmm. This was a Herculean project, rather. We didn't recognize the damage. That's why, I'm shocked. I picked them in one game. I thought they'd win one that they've been in, and I'm shocked. I didn't think they were going to beat. I hoped they'd beat Cincinnati. I mean, only friends and family, I think, would have publicly admitted they thought they was going to win on Monday. We're horrible on primetime. What are you talking about?
Right.
But that was the old skin. This is a whole new program.
Whole new bunch of guys.
And they got a chance now to control the narrative. And they're showing you. That's why, it was important for me to recognize our front office. It's hard, man, to win. It takes so many different pieces. Noah Brown, that's a front office move. That's part of bringing in this nucleus of front office people and scouts and people who have a black book on players. We lost a lot of games because our players aren't as good as others. And so that was a huge hit. Drafting Cynic. Somebody fought for him in one of those draft meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, Kingsbury said, hey, man, Ertz. Somebody probably said, wait a minute, maybe he's not still too. They had to fight over it. Somebody won. All these people, it was discussions about them. And somebody won. Brandon Coleman. And I think Cornelius Lucas is not getting his due. Stu's never started in this league. And he's fighting his guts out, as coach would say. And if they split up and do this the whole year, we win. because it just means you have two people that can man the position, and we can win with them. And that's why I mentioned Andrew Wiley. I'm shocked, pleasantly surprised. Andrew's fighting his guts out. Trent Scott catching that pass will make him a better tackle, because everybody's better with self-confidence. Everybody performs better when they feel better about themselves and others feel better about them. So, man, I'm looking at this whole thing. De'Ami Brown, you think his confidence hadn't been shattered? Feeling good about himself now. And Luke McCaffrey said, man, I played with Nick Giaquinto. I love my mother, trash man. Let me tell you something. What doesn't Luke do well?
He looks like he does everything well to me. I mean, he ran across the field. He's taking passes from people that he's in the area. That's my ball.
He's a player. And somebody in that of this new staff that identified it, had the guts to go make it happen. And, you know, and the other thing I want to say about all these guys that are still available, because we've had a lot of guys come in here and they break like a pretzel. They're available. I mean, and we're going to find out about depth, because you just lost the most productive player on the team is Austin Ekeler.
Yeah.
On the entire team. And so now you're going to have to step up for him. But that's impact, and they brought him here. So they made some good decisions, man. And defensively, now that's why my focus is on defense. We have got to get that unit balling out. And now we need these same victory stories on defense.
Doc, the one thing I forgot about defense is this. Coach Quinn and Witt, they've been preaching turnovers. We got one turnover, and that was a punch out from Zeus, right?
Yep.
from what the offense did, and I asked you this on the podcast, is what does the defense have to do? I think the defense knows if they give the offense one turnover, what the offense can do. So, that I meant to add that there is, if they provide this offense with at least one turnover this week, then they're showing them, hey, we're progressing. So, one turnover this week. That's what we're asking for. One turnover from the defense and the offense to stay clean on the turnover sheet.
All right, good deal. Well, good luck this week, man, with First String Podcast. That's Toothpick. Let's go to Andy. Andy, thanks for being patient. Welcome to Overtime.
Good afternoon, Doc. Hey, man. What's going to have to happen on defense is that those three soft knuckleheads, those three Alabama alumni who seem to be collecting a paycheck but not really showing up for the games, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, where the hell is Fedarius Mathis? These guys have, from what I can tell, haven't done anything really substantially in the past couple years. You don't see them. You don't see any kind of a push. You don't really see them even attempting to rush the passer. You've got these guys continuing to be called the stalwarts on the line when they haven't really showed me a damn thing. These guys have got to show up, because if they don't, the secondary is going to get torched. They're going to be running all over the Commanders. At what point are they going to earn their freaking paychecks, Doc? It's getting old, man. If these guys can't show up, put in Johnny Newton, put in God knows whoever. But these guys have got to show up. Otherwise, you know what, going forward, it's not going to look good, Doc. That's what I got to say, buddy. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate that. Corey and I on X, we had a little disagreement with that. I'm going, look, man, it's about, I want everybody to get paid. But I say this over and over. Okay, what do we get? And I judge a payroll by results. You should get X amount of results based on what we're paying. If not, then we're not getting our money's worth. That's the way this thing works. It's not that complicated. Mitchell in New Jersey, welcome to Overtime.
How you doing, Doc?
I'm good, Mitchell. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Sorry to hear about Austin Ekeler, boy. He cannot stay healthy the last couple of years. He went to Eastern Missouri, something like that. Just can't stay healthy. He's talented. When he's on the field, he's good.
Yeah, he is. No, I think he's the most productive player in your program right now. He's fantastic.
Is he out for a year?
No, I don't know. I don't know. You know, Mitchell, you know, the moment they tell you I find out you're out, I move on. We can't linger. He can't help me in this game. Love him to death, but I got to move on. The only people that stay with them, friends and family, they go do that. I got to win a game on Sunday, so I can't worry about people that don't play. I'm focused on those that will be playing.
Hopefully Chris Rodriguez gets in here. Another guy I want to see, he was a top four with the Raiders. Farrell, hopefully he's back. Maybe show up those Alabama guys, you know, what's it like to get to the quarterback. And I think Jayden Daniels, I think we got ourselves a good quarterback for a long time. I like his game. That was a great game last Monday night. And he's like a taller Kyler Murray. I mean, how do you like going to next season? You got like what the Nats have with the young players. It's looking pretty good. Maybe a couple of trades, get more offense. I really like what the Nats have. I rebuild again.
Well, we got a whole bunch of time for that. I'm not even going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend to say anything about a team that's out of the race. Right now, we're talking about teams going to the playoffs. They're out. I have no idea. I don't feel good about the fact that losing one of my all-stars. I was very happy with last night's results, but right now, Mitchell, playoffs in baseball. If you're not in the playoffs, you're not on my radar. Holla back. It is 1:12 in the nation's capital. Max, the baseball thing, Mitch is my man, but I can't, man, it's playoff time. I did peek at the A's and that ceremonial deal, and I did, you know, look at the White Sox losing, extending the record of the worst loss, because I love baseball and its history. And I just looked at it and thought, man, Golden State, Warriors, gone. A's, gone. Raiders, gone. And it could have been us. That's what I think. I want another one. You mess around and lose your team. That was sad. I knew I got the chance to meet several of those Oakland A's in the last 40 years. If a champion can be stripped apart that way, and it wasn't necessarily baseball, it was the nitwits that they had making moves controlling the government on that side of the ledger in Oakland and in the people that govern the area. You think we were run by a clown show to have lost those properties? Championship teams? It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Hey, Max, I meant to ask you, brother. How'd you do? I mean, you a man out there, play, you know, it was one of the favorites.
It was, I'll be honest.
BetQL and the whole nine yards. You all right?
It was a terrible weekend. I got crushed, killed, destroyed every which way. And then the Commanders played on Monday night, and we're back. So I was going to have to take a break if the Commanders lost, but we're up now. So it was a rough.
Okay, good deal.
Rough weekend, but Monday we turned it around.
Yeah, but see, you're a player.
That's right.
That's expected.
Players
make
plays.
That's like a soldier not expecting to be shot at.
That's fair.
Yeah, come on. So why are you in the game? You're built for this.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, it's a good deal. You know, the beauty about overtime, the weekends, man, I just absolutely, our audience is, you know, blue collar, our people that, but to me, I feel like the weekend is not set. I got to know that my boy G from the shop, man, that lets me know that we are right. He survived, he good, and then I can take my game to another level, so. It was great hearing the 757. Polly was real active this week. Been really cool listening to the fellas get up and get after it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We've had a great week. It's a winning week. Winning weeks are supposed to be like this. Really, the only negative that, and last night, from a local standpoint, I pulled for all our locals, you know. And for the Hokies, that one, the Terps, and our boy will have some feedback from Lamont Jordan, who's at work right now with the Turtles. But it's good when your teams that you pull for are victorious. And this week, Max, you young to this game. You haven't had a lot of weeks like last week. You okay?
Okay would be a certain way to put it. Okay. It's really like I'm trying to get into the mindset just quickly, like the rest of the team. Just don't celebrate too hard. Don't dwell on it too much. Just move on to next week. There's always next week. Next week is the priority.
Yeah, yeah. NBA making moves.
And man, last night was crazy.
Yeah.
Towns found out the same time everybody else did, which after 9 years on a team, that's one way to leave it.
That's what happens when you don't win.
Yeah, it's true. It is a business.
Yeah, first.
And foremost.
First is a business.
Yeah.
And nothing shocks me anymore because they're trying to put – and I think unless you win it all, you should be constantly trying to adjust.
Yeah.
So that you do win it.
I do think the T-Wolves won that trade, but
– see, it might be my ignorance – but I'm just, and maybe been around coach too long. If my 7-footer is shooting threes, I'm just uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's not just the shooting threes, it's the lack of physicality in the paint that I think does you a lot of disservice, and I think Randall brings that.
Oh no, Randall, now here's the thing about Randall, I like Randall. I just think Gobert I've just never seen anybody make this kind of money that can't make a 2-foot basket.
Yeah,
can't make
a layup. Rudy's a pure defender. He has no offensive skill set whatsoever.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Slim. You telling me with all that money.
Yeah, you should be able to play.
You can't get. I know G from the shop can get him in a gym for $100,000, and they can improve his ability in the paint. All I'm saying. I don't think he's putting any effort in. If I look at you and see, you telling me, it's like there are several players in the NBA, I go, their off seasons are horrible. They're too talented not to be able to close a gap.
Yeah.
Through training in the off season. I just don't see that. I just don't. I don't understand how you can be a professional. You don't work a side job. All you do is that. I've never seen any improvement in his offensive game in the paint. And you're telling me you think he's working on that? I don't believe that.
No, I don't know if he's working on it. I think Rudy's probably hanging out in the south of France eating escargot or something. But
I don't know what the hell he's doing. But I'll tell you what.
It's not hooping.
They blew. Suppose they never get back that close again. I just think they blew hopefully it's not a once in a lifetime opportunity, but you know, I applaud the Knicks because they knew you had to do something. You know why? Because of what Philly did. Paul George is another guy. I scratch my head till my hand is bloody trying to figure out what's missing. Dude's a baller. How can the team he's on lose? But it happens over. But that's what, you know, my oldest is a Celtic fanatic, and he already sent me all these photos of the new championship ball, all the Celtics, because they're starting early, you know, out of the country game and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're champions, so I have to accept it. He's getting ready over in Germany now about running a marathon. Another thing where I go, 26.2, why? And then he says it, like all the marathons, because they can. Do you know how awesome that would be? To be able to say, Yeah, I just went out. I just ran 26.2 miles. Yeah, I ran a marathon. Max, you think you got a marathon in your lifetime?
No, no. I am not. I'm not a runner. That's my big thing is I do not have that kind of stamina.
Okay. I think it's awesome.
It is, but I
guarantee you, if any of our listeners have ever run in a marathon, please tap in.
Please do.
I would love to have you on the air to highlight that's a hell of an accomplishment. I never say never. You should never say never.
I'll never say never.
I pretty much guarantee you.
But I'd say it's unlikely.
Probably is unlikely. But watching this dude, Trance, hey, man, how many run today? 10, ran 10 today, 12.5. Wow. I guess if you can, you know, and then trying to get it under these times like the Boston, don't even think about trying to get in the Boston Marathon if you haven't gone under 2 hours and somebody goes, what? Three, I mean, these times, I'd have a hard time riding a bicycle. 26.2 miles in the time that they're running. I got nothing but mad respect for distance runners, man. That's going with your bad self. But I got to believe that there's got to be amongst our listeners, since we have the most intelligent listening audience in the country, that somebody has run in a marathon. And I'd love to hear that today. That'd be great if we can get that on when we go to break. And Big Tony, don't do that. Seriously, don't even pick the phone up. Slim, you got a hard time walking down your driveway to get the newspaper, right, without needing oxygen. So don't even call here with that. We're going to step aside. We appreciate you here. Overtime, DOC and Max here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. 133 in the nation's capital. And, man, I asked for a marathon runner. We got a man who's run, Max, five?
Five. Five is what he said.
Five. Five. Not one. Five. Brother, we welcome you to overtime. I asked for it, and I've got to ask you, did you run in high school?
I ran track in high school, yes.
Okay, it's track.
I ran half mile.
So you ran an 880, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so John, let me ask you this. As a man who only was on the track team once in my life, I don't equate the 880 to a marathon. So how'd you make that jump from 2 laps to 100 laps?
Well, I came back from consecutive overseas tours in Korea and Australia. And I came back to Hawaii, and I went down to the marathon as soon as I got back to watch them. And I saw these elderly ladies, finishing in 5 hours and so forth. And I thought, yeah, I don't be able to do that. So I spent the next year getting ready. And my goal was to finish running, and my second goal was to finish under 5 hours. And I did both of those, so I kept on going. For my last marathon, which was in like 1980, I qualified for Boston, but I injured myself and I couldn't run.
Now that one, according to my son, he said that's the hardest one to qualify for. I mean, you got to be under, did he say you had to be
under 3.5.
2.5.
3.5.
3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
About 3:26, I think.
Yeah, in Germany right now. And so, you know, he flew out there and he wants to run. I guess there's 6 majors. Yep. And he's trying to, his goal is to run in all 6. I think it's amazing that you're training for it. And so of this big 6, you've run in how many?
Five.
Five.
All were hot weather marathons in Hawaii.
Okay. Wow. That's brutal. That is brutal. So, are you bleed burgundy and gold? I mean, what's your affiliation with the pigskin?
I'll go back to Sammy Boss.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, you real. Okay. I feel you.
83.
Wow. 83. God bless you, man. That is awesome. Well, then you got more vested into it than all of us. And this week, what has this week meant for you?
Well, I think it's a great turnaround, and it's been a blessing. I've been better than I expected, and I just hope that they can keep it going this weekend.
Yeah, I do too. Well, man, and John, we appreciate you, A, listening, and B, contributing, and keep moving, man. 83 years old, running marathon. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you, man. Max, I'm going to put that old burden on you now, man, to see if you can keep up John's commitment, first of all, serving our country, and then going from the 8.5 mile to a marathon. That is awesome. But when you're over in Hawaii, man, you're on the rock running. That says a lot. It really does. We are trying to run Jordan Reed down, one of my favorite players to have covered with the burgundy and gold. And this brother was so much fun. Part about being a reporter, you know, when the team is not good and you cover it, I mean, it's like, it's really difficult. I hope you guys realize how good our people are that cover the football team. Our writers, the radio people, the TV people, everybody involved. You got a really good group of people that deliver this. They got to sit out there and wait and go through these press conferences. And it's got to be such a relief for all of them having survived Coach BS and now got a guy in there that you really enjoy listening to and following through it. And so a winning week is awesome. So Jordan Reed, and I got a chance to last week be in an event around people that love the burgundy and gold. And whenever we get a chance to be at an alumni kickoff and watching a road game with our beloved fan base, there's always a charge. And Jordan, hey man, good hooking up with you. And I gotta think we gotta take a little bit of credit with Ken Harvey, you, me, and Ken, for being able to add some spirit to our boys that were on the road and share with, I'm trying to convince Max. Max is a young fella. Trying to convince him how hard it is to win in this league and how you have to appreciate it when you get the job done.
For sure, man. It's winning in the NFL any given Sunday. It doesn't matter if the team is, you know, lost every game of the season. Any team could beat any team. So it's a dog fight until the end, man. And our guys pulled that out last week, and they sustained success over four quarters, and it was really impressive to see. And just real, really exciting, man. It's just exciting time for the team. And it's a huge relief when you pull that W off after that fight, man. It's one of the best feelings in the world.
You know, when I watch, you had such an incredible skill set. When I watch Ertz and Cynic and these guys, I think Ben's going to really be unique at the position. I'm hoping that Zach, his body holds up. We know he knows how to get open and do all that. What's your evaluation thus far of the offense? And you got to see a guy like, you played with talent. What do you see in five at the quarterback position and our air game and how it's evolving?
I see a superstar. I see a superstar, man. I was so excited when we picked him in the draft just because I could tell he had the confidence. He truly believes in himself and his work ethic that he's going to go out there and have success as a quarterback in the NFL. And he's been putting that on display these first 3 weeks of the season. He's exciting to watch. To me, he looks like Lamar Jackson out there. Just as good as a passer as Lamar, just as good as a runner as Lamar. And he's like Lamar Jackson 2.0 almost, in my opinion. So I'm really excited about what he's going to do for the Commanders, man.
You were that dude, man. The young people saying, who's that dude? Is he him? You were him. And on third down, everybody knew it was coming to you. And you still got open, and you still made it happen. And you had an incredible skill set. And when I see Cynic, and I'll tell you another guy, getting open is a gift. And I don't necessarily think you have to be the fastest or the biggest or whatever. But Luke McCaffrey's got that thing. Whatever that thing is, he knows how to create space and get open.
Yeah, I owe a lot of my ability to get open from basketball, for one, and from playing quarterback. As a quarterback, you're able to – as a quarterback that moved to receiver, I know what the quarterback wants to see. I know what makes him feel comfortable to throw the ball to me. Because I used to look for those same tendencies, that same body awareness, that same kind of presentation to me when I was a quarterback. So I would give that same comfortable feel to a quarterback. You also, pre-snap reads, it allows you to understand where the holes in the defense are going to be. Once you know how to read the defense enough to find out who's covering you, if it's man-to-man, where's the covers, where's the leverage, and then if it's not man-to-man and his own coverage, what coverage they are playing, then it's going to be a lot easier for you to find those soft spots and just be ready for that opening to come and being in that spot when the quarterback is wanting you to be there. So I owe a lot of that stuff, and I see it in Luke. He was a former quarterback too, similar to Kelsey. A lot of guys who converted over from quarterback to receiver or tight end, they have that feel and they know where to find those soft zones in the defense.
Max, that makes sense, man. I don't think I've ever heard you make that analogy. It makes so much sense now because, I mean, you used to box out when you had those choice routes.
Yep.
And to have a feel how to navigate in short space because your feet were so good, and now it makes sense. I never looked at it from that perspective as a quarterback, but that makes a lot of sense. So you give the group, because I look at this tight end group, I go thumbs up, and everybody in there will stick their face in there, and they'll be contributors in the blocking game.
Yep.
And that's important.
I give them a big thumbs up, man, and I love how Zach is leading the way. Me and him came in the same class, so it's impressive to see him out there still balling and still adding value at this stage in his career. He's going to go down as a true legend playing tight end.
I'll say this about you too, and you don't have to say it for yourself, but the concussions, it wasn't like you wasn't in physical shape. You still look like you can do the game, but as we are experiencing right now with Eckler, head trauma is nothing to play with. And I would assume that that's one of the things that affects you in a way a lot of us don't understand. I was knocked out for 20, 30 minutes once in a game against the Packers. I think we've learned a lot more now. That's why I'm all for the kickoff rules being changed. So what did head trauma, what did you learn from that?
Yeah, that's, you know, if it wasn't for my concussions, I would have kept playing. The other injuries, the hamstrings, the toes, the shoulders, all that stuff, I would have came back. I would have kept coming back. You know, I would have kept taking the injuries and giving it my all to come back. And I tried that same mindset when it came to head trauma. But, you know, at a certain point, when symptoms start lingering longer than they used to, and you got symptoms that last over a year and, you know, don't go away, period,
then you realize that, you know, you need to get some help. You need to get some professional eyes on what's going on with you. And that's what I did, man. I went out and, you know, I had a concussion that put me out for a season in 2019 where I had blurry vision for a year. And I was dealing with a ton of anxiety, depression. And then I found out that, you know, I had some damage with one of my eye muscles from the hit. And I finally understood what was bothering me. And so I was able to address it with my physical therapist. And we got it to where I was seeing normal again. And then I chose, you know, I gave it a crack. Ron Rivera let me go after that season, understandably. So I was a free agent, and I worked my ass off all off season. And Kyle Shanahan gave me a shot with San Fran, and I was trying to be in the best shape of my life for that, and I was. And I came in, and I did well in my first two games in there. And then, you know, unfortunately tore my MCL and then took another concussion later on in the season. I didn't say nothing about it. You know, I wanted to finish the season. I finished, and then during that off season the symptoms weren't going away. They lasted like the last one I took in 2019. So I went and seen a professional, a doctor, and ran some tests on me, ran some studies, and basically let me know, you know, it wasn't a good idea for me to continue to play. Just, you know, I'm still in my 30s. I got three daughters. You know, I got more to live for than just football, and I want to be good for my kids. So I chose to step away early because of that. It was a tough choice, but, you know, I'm happy I made that choice because now I could be with my kids. And my goal now, I found a new purpose in life, and that's to better the game for the future, for the next generation of tight end out there of all, you know, football players, all positions. And try to make it a safer game by finding solutions to this head trauma stuff, man, because it's not going anywhere. No matter how many rules they add to the game is so fast and it's so dynamic that guys are going to get hit in the head and they're going to get concussions. So to me, it's not about, you know, it's inevitable. That's going to happen. So we got to find solutions now. And there's a lot of technology out there that's been showing some positive, showing some positive studies on how it's affecting guys with traumatic brain injuries, CTE, TBI. So that's my mission now, is doing research on that stuff and finding the stuff that truly works.
Well, under the Tua Tagovailoa issue, you relate to that.
Absolutely.
You understand the warrior in you still wants to play.
Yeah.
But you understand it may not be in the best interest of your family. But I admire you sharing with our fan base, because there are parents listening that have young boys and girls who play contact sports. And I'm really concerned about it that we make this technology available at the youth levels. I think we got to lessen these hits from Pop Warner all the way up.
Yeah,
there's just no reason to take this trauma that early. And I love youth ball, but I don't love youth contact pre-high school.
I don't either. I think it's especially for a kid that's still developing, his brain is still developing.
Yeah.
His neck strength isn't all the way there yet, so it's easier for him to get whiplash, and his brain is moving around in there at high speeds because he can't control his body fully. He hasn't become fully, you know, muscular yet. So, yeah, I think it's really dangerous for kids, and I think the repeated hits to the head is a real cause for concern. Unfortunately, you see kids out there who took their lives and they find out they had CTE from playing contact sports and they're only 17 years old. That's a real thing that's happening, in the world, in this country. So I think people need to be very aware of that when considering putting their kid in a contact sport before the age of 14, before they hit that real development in their brain and body. It's football is dangerous, man. You know, we love this sport, and that's why, you know, it's my mission to see if I can help find solutions to this problem.
Hey, man, well, God bless you. Thank you for sharing. And still, you love the game, and we all love the game. We want it to be as safe as possible. That's why I don't joke about the kickoff. I accept it. I applaud the fact that they're trying. I was knocked out for over 20 minutes or so on the kickoff in Green Bay as a rookie. And I remember trying to bust a wedge, which was insanely stupid. But when they got you at L1 or R1, what else are you going to do? You know? So it's always a manhood issue when you're playing the game. But hearing what you said will help parents. And there are parents out here that need to hear. And there are young athletes and older athletes that need to hear. So thank you so much for sharing. But it is still great that we had a winning week. And before we let you go, what are your vibe for this week, our boys in the desert against the Cards?
I think we're going to get to 3-1, man. I think it's a lot of momentum right now with the team. The offense is playing great. Arizona's looking tough, but I don't see why we can't get to 3-1 this week, man.
Well, if that happens, then you know we're going to consider you the lucky charm, which means we'll be hollering back at you again next week.
Yes, sir.
You got it, man. Hey, Jordan, thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Folks, I hope you enjoyed him as much as we did, because as Coach Thompson would say, Jordan Reed is simply one of the best. We'll be back, top of the hour.